Author Sue Katz is here to talk about her lesbian journey in the Boston area during her lifetime and how things have changed over the decades, and give us her spin on our LGBT issues. Hi, Sue.
Hi, Charlotte. Thanks for having me.
Tell us about what it was like when you first came out.
Well, it was a nightmare, and it was like a different world. I grew up in Pittsburgh, and when I was a junior in high school, now we're talking 1962, a new girl came into our class. She had moved to Pittsburgh, and it was just love at first sight. But we didn't really have any language or any experience or any knowledge. There was nothing out there. There wasn't literature. It was illegal. It was perverted. So we sort of passed as best friends who had a lot of sleepovers. And then, unfortunately, we were caught in our senior year. And it was very, very dire. I don't want to go into all the details, but she tried to kill herself. And I was put into involuntary therapy with like a perverted psychiatrist who every week asked me, and then what did you do to her? And then what did she do to you? We were completely separated, and it was really very, very traumatic.
Tell us about your books.
Well, I think the two books that are of interest here, one is called Lillian's Last Affair and Other Stories, and this is six short stories about all kinds of different old people and all kinds of different love lives. So the first story is called Lillian's Last Affair, and Lillian says, if I'm going to go after one more affair of the heart at 84, I'd better get my ass in gear. And some of the other stories, like Ruby has a run-in with a waterbed, and Catherine tokes her first joint in the bathtub with Victor. Elegant Anna's introduction to kinky sex is bittersweet. And then there's the neighbor with the strange attachment to the grocery cart. So mainly what I wanted to do with this book is to be funny and to confirm that age fails to erode our eccentricities or dull our ardor. And that book just was a whole lot of fun to do readings with and to talk to people about. It was really great. But I got a lot of criticism about the first story, about Lillian, because Lillian comes out at 84. She was married and widowed. She's got kids, grandkids. You know, she lives in the suburbs, and she visits her friends who live in senior housing and meets one of their friends, who's named Sarah, and realizes that she's falling in love with Sarah. At 84, first woman she's ever been attracted to. And she decides to come and stay at Manor House, at the senior housing, when her friends go away, and just test out what's going to be between her and Sarah. And the end of the story, they're walking hand in hand into Manor House. So everybody complained, like, that's it? You know, like, what happened? Did they do it? How did they do it? Where did they do it? What did they do? What happened to their relationship? So that's what led me to write Lillian in Love, which is a novel about their love affair. And it deals with a lot of things. It deals with senior housing, sort of the third main character, and what it's like when you leave your house and you downsize and you go into an independent apartment. And then it's about coming out at 84 and what happens, like how the kids and the grandkids react. And then it's about the homophobia in the place itself. And it's about a woman who's just come out and a woman who's a lifelong lesbian and how they're trying to understand each other. So my question that I was trying to answer in the book is, how do two old women negotiate new love, and will slow dancing and pot brownies help smooth their way?
What was your inspiration for writing them?
Well, I've worked with elders on and off most of my life, long before I became one myself, and I still do work with elders. And I ran into so many assumptions. I had a love affair at 55, and I remember asking the nurse who works with my doctor about this new Hep C vaccine. I didn't know much about it, and I asked her about it. Is it something I need? And she laughed out loud, like hysterically, and said, "No, no, no, that's just for sexually active people." I was like, pardonnez-moi. And then I started reading the studies about older people and sexuality, and what is very clear is that people want intimacy till the day they die, even though they can't often achieve that because they can't often find a partner. But nonetheless, all aging people really want some form of intimacy.
What would you like to accomplish with your work?
Well, I'd really like to sell a lot of books and mostly have a lot of readers, like any writer. And I'd love to be invited to read and talk about aging and the special sort of issues that LGBTQ people face. And I'd like to inspire people to lend me their extra houses, their vacation houses, so I can have a retreat and write. You know, the thing about writing is that I love it. I'm not one of those writers who experience a lot of angst or writer's block. I love writing about as much as I love dancing and eating.
How do you see our LGBTQ community moving forward in this Trump administration?
I think our only hope is building a strong coalition and looking for strength in numbers. Like our community, what's interesting about our community is that it overlaps with all the other threatened communities, whether it's people of color, women, people with disabilities, immigrants. We're kind of in a perfect position to build something really multifaceted, and I think that's the only way we're going to survive. Kind of mutual aid with all the other groups under attack.
With LGBTQ teens are 4 times more likely to attempt suicide than their heterosexual peers after facing bullying incidents, what advice would you have for these kids struggling with Trump's presidency?
I am sad to say that I think one of the things that we older people can do is teach the kids how to be in the closet, how to protect themselves. I mean, it's terribly ironic that we fought for them not to be in the closet, not to have that experience. But I think it's one of the skills we can pass on.
How can people get information about your speaking event on June 28th and also your books?
Well, for my books, you can go to CreateSpace or to Amazon and just buy them. Just click on Sue Katz and my books will come up and you can just get them. I would say, if I could, about my books is that I am very, very determined always to make them accessible and readable for older people. So the result is that I use large font with a lot of white space, and I price my books very, very low so that they're affordable and readable. So go to Amazon. As for my speaking event, it's at the Arlington Public Library. It's called the Robbins Library. right in the heart of Arlington, Massachusetts. And you can just go to their website, look for their events calendar, and all the details are there. It's at 7 o'clock on June 28th, which is a Thursday.
What other projects are you working on?
Well, I'm working on a few projects. First of all, I seem to have written a whole lot of new short stories that are unpublished or were just published in magazines. So I want to do a collection of short stories, but a mix of lengths. In other words, short stories traditionally are, say, 4,000 to 7,000 words. Mine are usually around 5,000 words. So I would like to include a bunch of my stories that are that length, along with my flash fiction. Flash fiction is something that I have just really gotten into in the last few years. And those are stories under about 1,000 words. Some magazines say under 1,500, some say under 1,000, some say under 500. They're all different kinds of magazines where you can publish, and they set their own word limit. But they're very, very short. And I love writing them. And in fact, I'm working on a memoir about my childhood and about my youth. And that memoir, every chapter is exactly 100 words. Not 99, not 101. Exactly 100 words. And it's a form I just adore. And I'm also working on a regularly length memoir, and that covers 1965, which is when I came to Boston from Pittsburgh to go to college at BU, until 1977, when I left America to live abroad for a quarter of a century. So it covers the development of the women's liberation and gay liberation movements, which I was a part of.
Is there a question you wish people would ask you?
Yeah, I'd like them to ask me to come visit and read. Like, I've read at people's birthday parties, I've read at people's anniversary parties, I've read at people's, like, church book clubs, adult learning classes. I read and talk to a group of graduate social work students because they need to know about us, to a women's group, pretty much any event. I would really like to come talk about these issues and read from my work and maybe sell a few books.
Do you have a favorite quote or mantra to get you through difficult times?
Yeah. This needs just a tiny bit of explanation. Back in the revolutionary Marxist class-conscious days of the late 60s and early 70s, I asked for a certain saying to be put on my tombstone. And I don't think I've ever changed my mind. And the saying is, it is better to rise with your class than from it. And you could substitute for class, your gender, you could substitute any number of things. But I think it's all about solidarity.